Comes from the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. You've heard an excellent presentation already. And I read to you from that chapter verses 15 through 17. Listen now for the word of God. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Our second scripture reading this morning, and the one from which I will primarily preach, is the beloved 23rd Psalm. Listen again for God's word, and I'm going to use the King James Version because that's the version that many of us remember this psalm best. And if you're a guest this morning, this is probably the only time all year you're here a scripture reading from the King James, but we will this morning. Listen again for God's word. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, today I bring you an old friend for our sermon. Psalm 23. It's a familiar passage brought to you by someone who I hope by now is becoming a somewhat familiar preacher. Now, last November through February, before I arrived on March 1st, this pulpit was ably filled by my colleagues Greg Dana and Jill Paulson. But I understand you also had some unfamiliar guest preachers about whom I know nothing. So in keeping with that spirit, I thought I'd give you a heads up this morning about guest preachers. That's in case one should again be invited sometime. I mean, sometimes Sundays with guest preachers can be a jarring, unsettling experience for the congregation. You settle in the pew only to be hit over the head by some strange biblical text preached by an even stranger preacher. You get poked in the ribs by some pushy preacher peddling an even pushier passage of Scripture. And in fact, the experience is so common that a few years ago, a church published a list of helpful hints regarding guest preachers. And here's what it said, and in keeping with our Easter theme of laughter, it said, "You know you're in trouble when the guest preacher begins a sermon with any one of these." Well, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, or, here are the notes of the sermon I was going to give, but I'm not going to give this message today. I'm simply going to say some things that you need to hear. Or, my wife doesn't like this sermon, but I decided to give it anyway. Or, there are some topics that 30 minutes just can't do justice. Or my favorite, at first glance, variants between the Septuagint and the Masoretic text don't seem all that interesting. But, you know you're in trouble. But not today. Today, this preacher brings with him an old friend upon which to preach, Psalm 23. I cannot remember when I did not know this psalm, can you? Even a person who knows no scripture has usually at least heard of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I remember pictures from my childhood Sunday school class, so this psalm immediately becomes an appropriate passage for Sunday school and youth leader and church worship, children's worship leaders, because that image of the Good Shepherd is so much a part of teaching children. It expresses a childlike trust in God's tender care, just as a shepherd cares for his sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, restful, reassuring. Sheep don't drink from dangerous, fast-flowing streams. The good shepherd finds the perfect spot for the sheep to rest and to be restored. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The pleasant mornings of childhood fade. We look down a gradually darkening corridor toward the end of life, and there to meet us is not a dark abyss of death, but rather the Good Shepherd. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the most comforting aspects of friendship is that it can last throughout life. Yeah, we've been friends since elementary school. And as a pastor, I've been impressed that when life draws to a close for someone and it is his or her turn to walk through the valley, many times that person reaches out for this old friend, Psalm 23. It isn't simply because they may know it by heart. It's because it dares to speak about the end, that dark valley, and names it as a place where the Good Shepherd comforts us. So here is a scripture appropriate for the beginning of life and appropriate for the end of life. It's a rare funeral service where Psalm 23 has not been invited to speak a word. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, whenever in this life we've been forced by some dry desert or had to sail into a raging sea, it was this old friend who reminded us of the green pastures and still waters. And in that way, it restored our souls. When we strayed and wandered without direction or meaning, there was good old Psalm 23 to point out the righteous paths for His name's sake. Yes, when enemies like illness, anxiety, guilt, anger, regret, fear, and even death turn on us, when life makes us wonder if God is really there, Psalm 23 puts comforting arms around us and reassures us of a good shepherd God who makes, leads, restores, comforts, prepares, anoints, so that in darkness or light, in life or in death, we might dwell with God. Good old familiar since childhood Psalm 23, which reminds us of still waters and green pastures. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But wait. Hold on a minute. A closer look in biblical commentary, such as the New Interpreter's Bible and the notes to the New Discipleship Bible, reveals something fascinating and new. What the commentaries point out about the original Hebrew is that one word translated here can be translated in more than one way. The word that surprises is that word follow. Goodness and mercy follow me. Goodness and mercy pursue me. Think of it. Goodness and mercy pursue me all the days of my life. And so even in the presence of an old friend about whom we thought we knew everything, there is a ripple upon still waters. Pursue me? Here we are plodding through life, and oh yes, what's that behind us? Oh, that's goodness and mercy. They're following me, tagging along. Looks to me as if they might be pursuing you. Follow or pursue? You make the call. The Roman Catholic poet Francis Thompson put it this way. I fled God down the labyrinthine ways. I fled Him down the nights and the days. I fled Him down the arches of the years, of my own mind, and in the midst of tears I hid from Him, from those strong feet that followed after. Yes, friends, no matter how well you think you know the God of Psalm 23, you don't know this good shepherd until you realize He is a pursuer. The minister William Willimon points out there is a difference between looking over your shoulder and finding dear old predictable goodness and mercy in tow, trudging up the hill behind you, and being jumped by a breathless goodness and mercy. Now understand, the Good Shepherd is pursuing us not to punish us, not to hurt us, but instead pursuing us with goodness and with mercy. God's goodness and mercy come to us in a variety of ways. I'm just going to name one, an experience with which a number of you are familiar, some are not. One nearly 30 years ago, the other 3.5 years later. Met one in a hospital delivery room in Shreveport, Louisiana, and the other in a delivery room in El Dorado, Arkansas. You know, being a parent isn't always a picnic. Responsibilities. Got to get money for college. Lord have mercy. Supposed to be a good example, plans to be made, conflicts to be managed, hurdles to get over. Teenagers aren't always in the best of moods. And communication. My mother used to say to me, Bill, a penny for your thoughts. Now a parent says something like, "Earth to Lori, Earth to John, come in please, come in please." And perhaps you've heard about the mother who told her minister about her son. Her son was off in college and came home for the summer, and the mom said to her son, "How are things going?" He said, "Good." Mom said, "In the dormitory?" He said, "Good." I said, "How are your studies going?" He said, "Good." I said, "Have you decided on a major yet?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Communication." And so it goes. Sometimes it seems like we're on two different planets, parents and children, and yet not too long ago, my friend, someone asked me my children's names, and I replied, "My daughter's name is Lori, and my son's is John," but then I said without hesitation, "But sometimes we think of them as goodness and mercy." Yes, in a multitude of ways, the Good Shepherd pursues us with goodness and mercy. Old friend, Psalm 23 reminds us that the Shepherd leads us to a quiet creek where we can rest and be refreshed. And Jesus tells us about the Shepherd who, when one silly sheep strayed from the fold, he left the 99 sheep behind and went out on the wilderness and pursued that one sheep. Luke's gospel says, until he found it. And in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." It's an appropriate charge for you teachers and youth leaders and children's worship leaders whom we honor in today's service. What better way to feed and nurture the young entrusted to your care than with the news of this Shepherd who pursues each one of them with goodness and with mercy. And my friends, there's no limit to the Good Shepherd's pursuit. His goodness and mercy not only follow, but also pursue us forever and ever. Now, I want to close this morning with a story from the minister William Willimon, who has certainly influenced this sermon. The story is about a mean old man. And Willimon's a southerner, and you've got to remember, particularly at the end, that not all southerners let truth get in the way of a good story. Present company excluded, of course. But Willimon tells this story that fits so well. This mean old man was resentful, he was bitter, and some in town said his bitterness was justified. He had lost his beloved wife when she gave childbirth, and the child died shortly thereafter from complications. "He has reason to be bitter," they said in town. "Never went to church, never had anything to do with anyone." And when in his late 60s they carried him out of his apartment and over to the hospital to die, no one visited, no flowers were sent, he went to die alone. Except there was this nurse. Well, she wasn't exactly a nurse yet, just a student nurse. She was in training, so she hadn't learned all the things they teach you in school about the need for distance with your patients, and she befriended the old man. It had been so long since he had had friends, he didn't know how to act with one. He told her, "Go away, leave me alone." She would smile, try to coax him to eat his Jell-O. At night when she tucked him in, he growled, "Don't really need anybody to help me." But soon he grew so weak he didn't have the strength to resist her kindness. And late at night after her duties were done, she'd pull up a chair and sit by his bed and sing to him as she held his old gnarled hand. And he looked up at her in the dim lamplight and wondered if he saw the face of a little one he never got to meet as an adult. and a tear formed in his eye when she kissed him on his forehead goodnight. And for the first time in 40 or maybe even 50 years, he said, "God bless you." And as she left the room, two invisible ones remained. They were breathless, whispering softly into the old man's ear the last word he heard before slipping away into the dark valley. And the word was this: "Gotcha!" Whispered in unison by goodness and mercy. Yes, my friends, this good shepherd is always out seeking and pursuing. We wander down crooked paths, bob up and down on some raging river, but he has met us there, pursued us with goodness and mercy, even into the valley. And so, teachers, remember to teach your children these words. "Gotcha," said the good shepherd. Amen.